Hey,
gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Eigen Bros.
Today, a very special episode, even though you say that literally every time.
Yeah. Well, no. Just when we have very special guests, I say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Special, double special.
Yeah, special squared.
There we go.
Yeah.
So today, ladies and gentlemen, we have the famous Jabrils.
And I'm going to insert children right now clapping. You know, I'll drop that
get
audio.
Get some applause.
Get some of that in there.
Calm down, kids. Calm down.
Yeah. glad to have you on.
Yes. Name Jabril.
Yeah.
So.
Correct.
Thank you, Jabril, for joining us. And, of course, I'm Terrence, and...
This is Juan, JJ. I just introduced myself a little bit.
For those of you who are unfamiliar with us and just only know Jabril, let's get right into it.
Yeah. So Jabril, Terrence tells me you're kind of the esteemed programmer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you like to make some games.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about that. Like, tell me a little bit about that background there.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I started making games when I was about like 14 or 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I always harken it back to when I was really, really young, like maybe 4 or 5. My mother would play a lot of video games, Super Nintendo, shout out Super Nintendo. She'd play like Donkey Kong Country and Super Mario World. And I don't know. I think that like being so young and impressionable... And my mom playing these things, it just, at a very young age, had me really interested and curious about how the inner workings of these systems work. And so I got to a certain age where, like, I can understand, like, basic math, and I wanted to learn how to make games. And my mother finally bought me this thing called Game Maker at the age of, like, 14, 15. And I just made a bunch of really shitty games, and later on, I just knew how to make games at some point.
Yeah. You know what's funny? I'm actually I saw one of your videos a long time ago, before Terrence told me about you.
Really?
I saw that video. I don't remember. It was a while back. You must have been doing this YouTube thing for at least a year, right?
Oh, longer than that.
Longer than that, right?
Yeah, I'm on year 10.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, crap.
Because I saw Drill long ages ago too. And yeah, it's like almost. When I re-saw him, it was actually real recently.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. Haven't I seen this guy
before?
Yeah,
man. So you came up a couple times on my like YouTube feed, so the algorithm loves you, man. I was like, man, okay, we got Jabril on. He had some
bangers.
Yeah.
Jabril, I DM'd you through Instagram, and I told you about the one I saw you in from a while ago was the first machine learning game you did. With Forrest Gump, which I thought was just a brilliant idea.
And let me just say, it's not Forrest Gump. I don't have the license. It's just Forrest.
Yeah, of course. Don't sue us or Jabril, please.
Forrest Grump.
Miramax or whoever the hell that company is. But Mr. Forrest, that was a great, great idea. Mm-hmm. Is your background actually programming? So did you go to school for computer science?
I went to school for communications, and then I realized that was bullshit, and I dropped out and started a YouTube channel.
Whoa, so you're completely self-educated in programming.
You can say that, yeah.
Wow, that's impressive. But I guess you've had a lot of good experience from when you were a kid, yes?
Kind of. So it's interesting. At the age, like 14, 15, I coded for, I'll say, like maybe 2-3 years. Everything I made in that period was absolute garbage. Like, do not think anything was good. But, however, what I learned in that period was just like the basics of programming without even really realizing it. And then I stopped because I went to high school and then, like, I didn't have any friends. I went to, like, a pretty tough high school and found him like, yo, guys, I'm making video games. Like, you fucking nerd. So I completely stopped doing that stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
After high school, you know, I kind of found my way back to it. And when I did, I realized that like all the stuff that I was doing as a kid was like preparation for this next step. So like, I didn't have to go back and learn the basic data structure and stuff like that. I already knew how all that stuff worked.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all these different languages that, like, professionals are using, I was able to easily grasp it because of that experience.
Very nice.
So how long do you think it took you to be sort of proficient at, like, just even, say, making games? Because Terrence tells me that, you know, you have familiarity with machine learning, but that's a whole nother beast, right? Like, from making video games, like, but is there...
That's pretty shocking that he's able to jump into this, you know, with no background in any, like, computer programming. Yeah. I would have for sure thought you were a computer science guy.
Yeah. Yeah, is there any intersectionality between that a lot of the time? Like machine, maybe, I guess some, it depends on the language I guess you're using, but is there some intersectionality between machine learning and, like, say, programming for a video game or something like that?
Yeah, there's definitely an intersection there. As far as, like, where that intersection lies is a really good question. But I want to kind of, like, step back and say that it's not even the fact that, like, I have, like, video game development experience in my background. I think with anything, I don't care what it is, it's all about, like, how bad do you want it, you know?
How bad
do you want it? Because if you want something really bad, it does not matter what type of wall is in your way. You're going to find a way to knock it down.
Yeah, true.
Or without a degree, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where I stand. My machine learning passion comes from, again, when I was really young, there was this really cool demo that this researcher called Carl Sims had put up on the internet. And I somehow found it. And I didn't understand what the hell was going on. I just seen the word, like, neural network and autonomous. And I was like, this is so goddamn cool. I don't know how to do it, but I did not know even algebra at the time.
Yeah.
So it was way out of my scope. But years later, when I did know the math, I was like, now's the time to try this out. You know, I've been thinking about it for so many years.
Wow, man. So you actually had to teach yourself not only the programming, but the math too. So you got algebra from high school, and then that's where you stopped?
Well, I got to pre-calculus in high school.
Yeah.
However, the thing is, though, I learned pre-calculus. I passed it with a B. Should have gotten an A, but that's different. passed it with a B. But the issue is that I dropped all that knowledge pretty quickly because the applications in which we were, like, using pre-calculus didn't make sense. It's just like, here's these formulas. Do you know the formula? Okay, good. You passed the test, you know. Mm-hmm. But now in the real world, it's like, oh, now I understand this formula helps you find, you know, the gradient or, like, the tangent of, you know, like, it really mathy stuff, but
right.
I now have a purpose for all the different formulas now.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah, it reminds me of the quote, I forget who said it, but a man with a why can bear almost any how.
Mm.
That's what you are representing to me right now.
Yeah.
Very much an autodidact, a person who can, you know, learn very, very well on their own when they have a goal in mind. That's impressive, man.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a skill, man. That's like, you know, something is, I don't know if Terrence told you, but we're...
Are you having some audio issues there, Jabril?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, because I don't know if Terrence told you, but we're both physicists, and, you know, we have this sort of... We have to have this sort of mindset of investigating... Yeah.
I definitely didn't learn shit on my own when it comes to physics.
No, I mean, but you still have to nonetheless kind of... No, but you teach yourself some of the things.
Yeah,
you
but
know
this
saying?
Is this is what I would say. You know, Jabril, he had to do this in his free time. You know, because I assume that you started the YouTube stuff. Was it after you left college, or was it during?
I had a YouTube channel during college, but I wasn't taking it seriously. It wasn't until after I was like, okay, you know, so my parents were like, this is what you're doing. You need a plan. You know, like, this is the dumbest thing you possibly do. So after I dropped out was when I for sure got serious with it.
Yeah. I see.
No, just to clarify, critical thinking is an important skill is what I'm saying.
Right.
And that's definitely what my man's got here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's putting all the pieces together, creating, you know, or sort of acquiring knowledge, putting it all together, doing research and stuff. And that's a very commendable skill. Salute to you.
But more than anything,
but you know what? And you can tell that to your mom, dude. Just be like, hey, you know, you know, these guys were like very impressed with
I'm sure she'll be very happy to hear that from two random guys.
Two random guys, two physicists that have a podcast.
Let me say, I'm quite sure she will be watching this.
Oh,
shout
out
to mom. Hello. Hey, mom, what's going on?
Hi,
shout
Jabril.
Out to Mama Jabril.
Mama Jabril, yeah. no, but it's actually, So now her playing video games, did she, so, and you jumping into that, creating like your own worlds in that sort of sense, does she sort of have a new appreciation for it, or is she, you know, is she very supportive about it and all that stuff?
Yeah, she's always been, she loved video games. She's never been opposed to it.
Yeah.
It must be great to have a mom that likes video games.
Yeah, that must be awesome. How is that? Like that, does she introduce you to video games? Like, hey, you won't believe this, son, but I just bought this game, Red Dead Redemption. It's really good. And then you're just like,
she brought the Grand Theft Auto series into the household.
Nice. She was like, yeah, drive this car around and like run over pedestrians. Go for it. No, that must have been actually pretty awesome, because that's something that I envy. Like, the first video game I think I ever played was the SNES. We're about the same age here. And I remember going over to my buddy's house and just being like, what is this? Like, what is this thing? You know, just so encapsulated by it. And yeah, like, for a while, I also used to think, like, man, video games, it would be cool to program, but I just... Like I've done some HTML work with MySpace. Shout out to MySpace, and you know, it's just too it's too can't really, you know, I don't want to dabble in that anymore.
Wait, JJ, let me say, HTML does not count. I have been programming for like 15 years, and HTML is still a monster to me. Does not count.
I think that's actually considered a markup language too, not an actual programming language.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure computer scientists would punch you in the face.
Punch you in the face. Yeah,
it's a programming language.
They beat you with the keyboard that they have.
Get up, Jabril.
Yeah. No, I'm slightly joking, but that's kind of everybody in our generation's introduction to programming, if you remember correctly.
Yeah. Guess you could say that.
Yeah. But nonetheless.
But yeah.
Tip my hat to you, sir. That's.
So Jabril, I wanted to bring up the live streams, man. I've been really enjoying this live stream you've been having lately during the quarantine for making a game. So for those of you, for the audience out there, if you guys, when this comes out, I don't know if it will still be going on, but
what, the quarantine?
Quarantine will be going on, but his live stream, I'm not sure. But Jabril has a series where he's basically making a game in real time with the audience. So he's got some epic polls going on where people are duking it out for certain gaming choices. So Jabril, you had like, for example, you put up for the first one, I think it was the type of game. And some of the choices were a Matrix-type game. Mm-hmm. There was a tower defense-type game. And then there was the Planet Fuel-type game. And that's just the one where you collect things. And it was a heated battle.
It was really heated. The nation, they got pretty riled up. It was fun times. Fun times ensued.
Yeah. And I was Team Tower all the way. But I guess you kind of combined it.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
That's funny.
I know.
Excuse me, sir. I am offended.
Yeah, so if our listeners want to jump in on that, Jabril... Jabril's got a YouTube channel. You can Google his name. He'll come up pretty sure.
Yeah, I think maybe if he's finished it by now, you can at least go back and watch him.
Yeah.
And maybe even play the game.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but how do you feel about the progress that's going on with the game so far?
Man, oh, man, do I have an update for you.
Ooh.
So I'm not going to lie. I was a bit disappointed in the nation for choosing the tower defense game out of everything. It's like, tower defense and collecting, like, that sounds so boring.
Yeah.
You can play that, you know, right now on many different, anyways. But after the live stream ended, I thought that, like, I would not want to touch it into the next live stream, which I'm planning to do again this weekend. But I actually have not stopped thinking about it since. I've added some stuff to it.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about doing, like, a full release.
Wow.
Nice.
Dude, I've been literally thinking about that game for like 2 days.
Yeah, he's been making music.
Yeah, I've been composing some music. I know you said you're not sure about the music because you want to make sure it fits the theme, but I don't even care. I'm just making it even for myself.
This guy's just making music.
But I got some files to send you.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Now that I know, let's for sure link up, you and I, like towards the end, and see what we can do as far as like in the music all set.
Oh, excellent, man. I'm loving it. It's
a machine.
Yeah, I don't know. Something, it just inspired me, man. It just brought out some interesting things for me.
So, actually, one question that I was kind of intrigued, like, you've made, so how many games have you actually made in the span of, like, you know, the time that you've been doing this, would you say?
Yeah, so it's a bit of an interesting, like, push and pull for as far as, like, game creation content, or it's not content, game creation is concerned, right?
Yeah.
So, it's like the YouTube stuff that I do pays the bills at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's like I can only invest so many hours a week in developing games.
Gotcha.
And so like the whole point of this live stream that I did previously was I was trying to get back to the fundamentals of like what makes a game so that I can like make games quicker, simpler,
yeah,
but still fun. And so I've been doing a lot of research on Nintendo and their philosophy, their design philosophy, and a lot of like a lot of greats, the game designers and whatnot. And that's the point of live stream. But to answer your question, so far I've released maybe like 3 games in total.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to like speed that up while still doing the YouTube channel. Gotcha. I'm thinking about starting a studio. It's a mess, man.
Hey, man, that's literally 3 more games more than the average person. So,
like, especially if it's not even what he does for a living. That's
I know. You know, so it's super crazy. Impressive. In fact, like the combining the making games and streaming, that's really very best of both worlds in that sense,
right,
for you. So,
I'm surprised at how well this format has worked.
Yeah, man.
I feel like I enjoy this way more than like I might enjoy this many more than any live stream I've seen in a long time.
And it actually reminds me of, I don't know if you remember this, Jabril, but Twitch had this little thing for a minute where they were letting some users were letting people play a certain game like Pokemon or something. You remember this?
Is this Twitch Plays?
Yeah, Twitch Plays. I think it first started with Pokemon. This was like early 2010s. You know. Like, I think
it was a big phenomenon, though.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody was like, man, how did, and then it was like the community coming together to play. Like, I think, did you have any sort of like, was that something you're like, man, that was kind of the community coming together and putting something or playing a game together? Like, that's sort of the same kind of almost like except you're creating a game. Like,
yeah, it's similar.
Yeah.
It's similar. It's like, so there was actually a comment on the live stream where they're like, Jabril, ignore what the nation's saying and just make your own game. It's like, well, I mean, I can easily do that not on the live stream. You know, the whole point of live stream is in interactivity.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
that's part of it. But I do want to say, I'm glad you brought that up because I have this fantastic idea for a YouTube Plays series.
Gotcha.
But should you reveal it yet?
I don't know how much I should reveal because a lot of it's still not set in stone, but the idea, I'll tell you the project name.
Mm.
It's called Project AI Brain.
Ooh.
Dang. Ominous.
You heard it here first, folks. AI Brain.
World
Stay
exclusive.
Tuned.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I thought you were going to put that in the pocket and just like kind of hold it in there, but yeah, dang, you dropped that one.
I won't tell you anything what it's about, but just imagine Twitch Plays. And then like an AI brain type of, oh man,
that's,
if it works
okay,
out,
see,
man,
that's cool.
If it works out, I swear it's going to be so cool.
That's awesome.
So Jabril, are you still a man of machine learning? Are you still into that whole realm? Or have you been branching out into new avenues or what?
So I have a bit of an issue. There's so many things that are interesting. Like, even what you guys do, physics, like, I find physics fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of, like, I can only deviate 5 minutes a week to learn about physics, you know what I mean? Because, there's also machine learning and game dev and this and that that I also want to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
But I still super love machine learning. In fact, the next video upload is kind of a sequel to the Forest Project. It's pretty big. It's taking a while, but hopefully it'll turn out nice.
Very nice.
Yeah. How do you feel like, do you feel like right now, I guess at this point, which one takes a lot more of your sort of brain capacity? Is it machine learning that's like your main priority, or is it all like, which one would you say?
Yeah, this is a battle I face every single day because the reality is, this is the reality of like YouTube, right?
Yeah.
You kind of have to niche yourself into something. And then just do it over and over and over and over and over. But to me, that sounds like death, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like I love the machine learning stuff, but also would love to just do a weird AR project, right?
Yeah.
But then it's like the whole YouTube thing of like, oh, this video we can tell is about machine learning. This one's about like AR. We don't know if those audiences mix. So,
yeah.
It's a battle I face every single day, but I'm having a lot of fun regardless.
I see. So you're very beholden to the algorithm right now.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and like in terms of strengths as well. Like, do you feel like your machine learning programming skills are like at like the, you know, how would you say, like they're your top thing, like better than programming video games? Like which one do you think is like, if you were to put them on a tier in a sense, like, yeah, I'm better at machine learning programming as opposed to like programming video games? Because I'm trying to get a sense of the scale here, because, you know, for me, it's kind of like, I don't know, I basically know nothing about programming. So I'm like, you know, which one's actually tougher? Like, is it tougher to program for machine learning, or is it tougher to program for, say, video games?
I think it depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, mm-hmm. they both can be equal difficulty depending on your task, right? Like, if you're trying to make Pac-Man, obviously that's going to be way easier than machine learning. But if you're trying to make, like, some super complex physics game or Grand Theft Auto type of game versus, like, just a dog classifier machine learning project, obviously the video games seem more difficult.
But I see.
Had another part in that question I forgot.
No, that pretty much kind of answers it, though. It's project dependent. So that makes sense. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. Now, Jabril, are you trying to make? Do you actively try to study new concepts though in machine learning? Even though I know you have trouble with partitioning your time, you know, to that. But do you actually try to do new things with it?
I started off like that. I started off wanting to learn new things because there's all this research and it was exciting, but it's kind of slowed down a bit. And now I find a lot of the new like concept research is, it's a lot of, I'm trying to be nice here, but it's like charlatans that are just like tweaking small little things and like, oh, we made this crazy innovation, but you can't download the source code. Just like try and re-implement our terrible paper.
That's pretty much academia right there.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
So nowadays, it's more so like, how can I take old concepts and apply it in new ways?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool.
Very nice. Learning. Yeah.
Very cool. So also, Jabril, we know you're a fan of Pokemon. So I saw you had some, you know, you had some videos where you, I think you made a project where you AI generated Pokemon. Is that correct?
Oh no! Yeah. It's found me. Continue.
is that a mark against you?
What's what do you mean?
Did you have a problem with that project?
Well, let's say I learned a lot from that project.
Sounds like a lot of pain was involved.
What was that?
Sounds like a lot of pain and mental anguish was involved.
Yeah. So long story short, I was trying to figure out a way to like make machine learning projects without it taking 2 months to like come to a result.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'll just do this Pokemon project because I'm curious to know where it can go, and then break it up into parts and make promises at the end of every single video. And so now it's stuck on part 2 out of 4, but like, you know.
So I haven't watched it yet.
For 3... that I don't know how it's going to pan out. And I get a lot of people like, hey, when's part 3 coming? I'm just like, what's that to do?
Oh, so we might have awoken the sleeping dragon.
Yeah.
Bring it. Bring it on.
He's ready, guys.
Yeah.
It's my channel, damn it. My channel.
That's good, man.
Yeah, which Pokemon generation is your favorite?
Come on.
I mean, I know. We're both the same. We're about the same age. So I think I know.
I think we're older.
Well, I'm
different. I think I'm older.
I think I'm older. I'm a year older than you.
I don't think it doesn't matter what your age is. There's an objective answer to it.
Well, I'm going to say
Gen
red.
One.
I'm going to say the second generation.
First generation.
Wrong, Jabril.
First generation.
Second, bro.
What?
Yeah, I'm talking about gold and silver. You know, those are the best ones.
Listen, Gen 2 is tight.
Yeah.
But it does not top 1.
Top 1
does
The story in one is better, but Gen 2 had, you got to go back to Kanto and like you got to chill there, beat the whole gym, play the Elite Four again. It was great.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't Gen 2 have the whole alphabet Pokemon in it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. Real creative. Real creative.
No, I know, you're right. That's not a dig at the game. I'm just saying they had a great lore, they had great legendary Pokemon. You know,
talking about games. My mistake. I thought you meant like actual generations.
Mm. Oh. No, I'm talking about the games. Yeah. The games. Yeah.
Okay, I'll agree with you there.
Yeah.
Well, I just like the soundtrack of the original one.
Soundtrack of the first one is the best one ever. Mm.
Period. Classic.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 8-bit, you know, MIDI sound. It's just so good.
Like, do you get into like making music for your games? Or do you let the community, like Terrence, like throw you stuff? Like, hey, Jabril, guess what I made? You know what I'm saying? Like,
good question.
Yeah. Again, man. I've been through my music producing phase, but it's, you know, time allocation.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I can spend 8 hours trying to make this track, or I can put that towards.
Yeah,
you know, working on the game or some machine learning something. True, you know, true. Just time allocation. You know, it's
true.
The unfortunate truth of being a human.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it all, right?
Can't do it all, man.
Can't do it all.
What music programs do you like to use for composing?
I use Fruity Loops. It's what I found in high school and just have not changed since.
Yeah,
cool.
Same but here. I also don't do a lot of music production. So
yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't even want to do. I can get stuck on a little kind of thing about making music for some like chip tunes or something like for video games. Mm-hmm. That's so much fun. Yeah, but I mean, nothing's gonna top Gen 1 of Pokemon though.
No, not to me.
Not to me either. Yeah, you're
even though it's the only one I know though, so I guess it's kind of why also.
But yeah, man. Actually, that kind of brings me. I'm kind of gonna go to some more lighthearted like video game stuff because I'm kind of intrigued. Like what. What kind of consoles do you play consoles or do you play like on PC primarily? Do you not care? You're just like more of the games kind of person?
I'll say mostly with Steam until the Switch came out.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God for the Switch because I can take anywhere and you don't have to set up and put the cords in. Switch was a savior. So I've been playing a lot of games recently on Switch. But if not the Switch, definitely Steam.
Yeah.
But I am getting PlayStation 4 because that Final Fantasy VII is coming out, baby.
He's ready. I've been thinking about the music this whole. Jabril punched so hard that somehow the
sound
cushion got knocked off. I don't know how that happened.
It's not a bug, it's a feature.
Yeah.
But Jabril, what's some of the biggest inspirational games for you, man?
Yeah.
For just, I mean, and not even just for like that you enjoy, but like that you can use in your work. Like what games do you think of when you're like, I'm making a game, this one pops up into my mind. What are some of the top ones for you?
Yeah. I think this question also will reveal why I've released so little games because a lot of the games I'm inspired by are like really big complex games. I look at games like XCOM, I look at games like The Sims and like the machine learning project that I was telling you about, Carl Sims evolution thing. They're all these huge projects. I don't really find myself playing simpler games, which is kind of, again, the point of the live stream was like, I realized, like, I don't know how to make simple games, but I want to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, so that time constraint, you almost kind of force yourself into a time constraint so that you can really concentrate on the things that matter. I really like that concept, too, that you adopted from, as you said in the live stream, of form over, or I'm sorry, over function over form from the Nintendo philosophy. I think that's very, very much the way to go. I think it's really cool, man, that you're trying to do that. It's like, yeah, you can take all the time in the world, you know, when you have $1 million budget or multi-million dollar budget. But, you know, when you're just trying to do a nice little quick game, it's not so easy to try to think of all of the things that give you the most return on your investment. Right. So I think that's a really cool concept.
And, you know, on top of that as well, Terrence, like, I think that if you think about a lot of video games, right? If you just think about like as far from when you've been born to now, I would put money down that if you made a list, most of them will be Nintendo games that you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And
really?
The question is why. Mm-hmm. The question is why. And I solely do believe in their form follows function philosophy.
Very interesting.
Because check this out, right? There's this beautiful video that a creator uploaded about the Path of Neo video game. And I love this video because in it, it's about the directors of The Matrix. They made a video game. They were the writers, they were directors, yeah. Everything for the game, right?
I remember it.
Yeah, and, I remember this too.
And this is a beautiful example of Nintendo's philosophy, right? Because it follows the story of the movie up until a point. Up until a point, it stops and it starts to get super silly. Like you're fighting kung fu ants and kung fu ghosts and all this crazy stuff. And then at some point, the directors in the game come out and say like, hey guys, listen, we know how the movie actually ends, but that wouldn't be fun for a video game. So have this weird monstrosity Agent Smith giant that you fight instead. And like, to me, it's like they understand that movies and video games are two different mediums, and you got to take them two different ways. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's so true, man. I think that's a lot that you can say that about a lot of art or art media, I guess you could say. Like, you know, even from like let's say from books to film, right? Or maybe film to games. Those are always horrendous, though. but you know, there is something to say about that transition from one art form to the other. You have to have different. Like axioms or principles in your mind when you're actually constructing those things. And sometimes that means sacrificing the quality that you might have gotten in that other medium for something different. Yeah, I think that's a very important philosophy that, you know, as a creator, someone you should really know. And I think you definitely have an understanding of that. And I think it's a good thing to know. And it shows
Thanks,
too.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Thanks, man. My hope is that like this lesson will be able to transfer the skills into any jump, right? Because I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of like how the YouTube thing works, but it's like, what if you were to get just some random YouTuber to make a game, right? Mm-hmm. What would that look like?
Yeah.
And I hope that like with this research, learning this, jumping from the YouTube medium to the game medium, I'm able to do that in other dimensions as well. We'll see what happens. Grade me when the game comes out.
I'm already loving it, man.
Yeah, I'm kind
of... We'll see. I can't wait to see the final product of Planet Fuel.
Yeah, you seem to be a fan of like more open world kind of type games, maybe even like nonetheless, I think you were like Terrence iterated. You still kind of want to do more linear kind of styles. Did I get that right? Did I get that right impression?
Not linear,
like
yeah,
like it's, you. It's, no, I'm saying you would like to. Did I?
Well, I wouldn't say linear, you can correct me too, Jabril. But I'm getting what he's saying is. The function of the game needs to be enjoyable first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can add all the cosmetics and all the extra junk onto it, but if the main game is not good and functional and not enjoyable, then you're building your foundation on sand.
All right,
right?
So with that, Jabril, I'm about to test you, man.
Because
I'm a physicist. And
pop quiz. Ding, ding, ding.
As a physicist, you know, we have to test limits. So here we go. I'm going to throw one at you. Then why was Happy Birds so successful? So good.
Flappy Bird.
You said Flappy Bird?
Yeah, Flappy Bird.
Why was that so successful?
Why was that, you know, but if people were playing it, you know what I'm saying? Like, why do you think that was an enjoyable experience for a lot of people?
Thinking.
Ding, ding, ding.
So I think the first variable here is the time in which it came out. I think that's the first variable.
Mm.
If I recall, it came out like... in the beginning of the App Store phase, right?
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, I think there was some familiarity with the graphics. So when people seen it, they're like, oh, that looks like Mario bit. What the hell's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
I think third is probably the challenge of it. Watching people struggle and wanting to replicate that or think they're better than them, I think that also helped spread the priority of it. And... the simplicity. I think that's the final point. The fact it was so simple. You can watch a 5-second video and understand how to play the game.
Brilliant. True. I think that deserves like a round of applause. True. I think he nailed it.
Can I get a PhD? Come on, JJ.
Let me sign your defense here. No, actually, but looking at that though, like, do you look at games like that and you're just like, I could, you know what? I'm gonna drop all of this. I'm gonna make a game like this. I'm gonna drop it. Make $1 million. and then go buy like an island or something? Like what do you look at games like that, like apps, as something like, does it pull to you, or is it a medium that's like, nah, I'm not interested in that. I'm more interested in like bigger games.
I gotta say, making $1 million my island sounds like death to me.
like creative death, you're saying? Creative death, you're saying? Like,
no, yeah. Like, that sounds so boring. What the hell would I do on an island all day? You know?
You could have a bunch of YouTube computers or something. Computers to do your YouTube stuff on. I don't know.
I can do that in a one bedroom apartment.
Yeah, true.
But no, what was your question again? You said
I'm basically saying, have you ever been tempted by games like to make games like that?
Yeah. So no, I have not. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately have like, I think it's called like the curse of the artist or something like that. I have like no businessman skills whatsoever. I just enjoy like the creation of something.
Yeah.
And putting as much love and compassion into that project mm-hmm. as possible. And then it's like, when you have to compromise for business, I can't stand it. But I understand like its importance. So it's like every day I'm learning how to like maneuver through that field more and more. But the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of. It's starting.
Yeah. Now, Jabril, when I reached out to you, I recently had followed you on Twitter. I don't know, were you on Twitter before that for a while? Or did I just because I just conveniently started seeing posts from you one day. I don't know why. Maybe someone who I followed thumbsed up you. And then I was like, wait a minute, I know that guy from some video. And then I followed you and I was like, oh, nice. Did you recently just start an uptick in your Twitter activity?
That is a really good data point. Thanks for sharing that. lets me know I need to promote my Twitter more because I've had that Twitter account since 2012.
Oh, and okay.
I've been quite active like the whole time. Mm-hmm. I do not shut up. I post the stupidest stuff on Twitter.
Okay, so I just randomly just got lucky and saw you from some person I followed, I guess.
Those Twitter machine learning algorithms are working in my favor,
they are.
Baby.
are there any like big programmers that you kind of, or game developers or something that kind of reach out to you, have like reached out to you, hey, love what you're doing, man, you know, that kind of thing? Do you have like a community of people that are just like, hey, man, you know, I work for so-and-so and what you're doing is great? Like, do you get people like that coming up to you on Twitter, I guess, or even YouTube?
I don't quite understand the question. Are you talking like in physical location? Or
No, just like maybe reaching out to you on YouTube, like, hey, man, like big fan, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, do you get those people that work for those big companies that look at you and look at how creative you're being? Almost like saying like, man, I wish I could, you know,
try to hire you or something.
Yeah, or maybe even try to steal you away. Have you ever had somebody try to do that?
Yeah, I've gotten many job offers.
There you go.
But until I'm making no money on YouTube, I'm going to say no.
He's holding strong, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
But I will like say, I find that oftentimes the people that will actually interact with me as far as game developers, mm-hmm. it's like if they're on the smaller size, like studio size.
Gotcha.
I have found some pretty big studio like developers follow me just randomly. Wow. But that they've never said a word.
Really?
They've never said a word.
Wow.
Never interacted or anything. I don't know what to deal with that. It's just
they're keeping an eye.
Data I've collected.
They're keeping an eye on you, man. They want to know what your creative process is like, and they just want to steal ideas. So watch out for them. Put them on your block list. You know? That's crazy, man. That's cool.
Yeah. So, Jabril, what's some of your favorite gaming companies, man?
Gaming
like studios,
companies.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of the people that stand out for you?
I gotta say, I'm quite disappointed.
That wasn't the question.
He's like, I'm going to flip it. I'm going to tell you who I'm disappointed in.
He's like,
well, this
I
is
hate
important.
X, I hate Y.
This is important.
Okay,
I think ever since the whole microtransaction thing like came to the scene, it's been getting really strange. And like companies that I loved and trusted back in the days are like just worried about the next dollar, and it's like, oh man, but I used to love you.
So like now I'm more like into indie studios,
like mm-hmm. indie developers, and you know, still love Nintendo.
Yeah, shout out some of those indie developers that you know of, like off the top of your head. Which would throw some out for some folks.
Let's see. I want to shout out Landfall Landfall Games, Landfall mm-hmm. Landfill, I think it is. Mm-hmm. They produce Stick Fight. They produce Accurate Battle Simulator, mm-hmm. and then a couple other games. I want to shout out the Ooblets team. Their game looks tight. There's another developer. He's making the game called Durkham. There's so many. Sapiens. There's a bunch of little indie studios and developers
cool.
that are making really cool projects.
Yeah, nice, man. That kind of, you know, you mentioned some, like, with the Stick Fight. I remember something. Okay, we keep going back to this, but.
I think I know where you're going.
Yeah, yeah. With those Flash games back in the day, did you ever make any of those, like, you know, like, by Flash games, folks, I mean, like.
Newgrounds days.
Going to Newgrounds.com and, like, yeah. you know, did that pull you in at any point?
It did, but I jumped on a bit too late. Like, by the time that I learned, YouTube was already a thing, and I was more interested in YouTube than mm-hmm. making Flash games. But mm-hmm. I did play a lot of Newgrounds and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why did Flash games die? What happened there? Like, they just... I don't know.
Not sure.
I'm speculating.
Because Flash is still around.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Well, the Flash player has been deprecated. No browsers support it anymore.
Interesting.
In fact, Newgrounds, they created, I guess, a player that mm-hmm. you have to install on your PC if you want to play Flash games. And they'll just, like, download the Swift code and then play it locally.
Oh, so maybe that is what killed it.
No.
I don't remember. I used to know exactly why they deprecated the Flash player. I think it was something like they refused to update or something like that.
Adobe's like, we're done with this. We're done with this pet project. Too many people are making weird games with this.
Right. Dating hentai sims or whatnot.
Yeah. He's
like, yeah. My childhood.
Yeah.
We've all been there, ladies and gentlemen.
Speak for yourself, man. I'm not getting caught up in this. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, man.
No anime thoughts, Juan?
No, not yet. Fortunately, but yeah, man. That's, you know, it's really cool seeing you kind of like creatively, I guess, channeling this quarantine time, finding time to do very creative things, like, you know, bring the community together to do a live stream, make a game. That's something really cool. Yeah.
But, yeah, so, Jabril, I think we should kind of take a turn from gaming and all that kind of stuff. I wanted to just ask you about your home, your upbringing, man, and your family. So, so you said your mom, you know, she was a big influence on you for gaming and whatnot. Has your mom been really supportive to you through this whole effort? Like, tell me more, I guess, about how your mom has influenced your trajectory.
I just want to say shouts to mom because she gets mad when we talk about her, but I don't say anything. Shouts to mom. So my mom has been supportive, like, everything I've ever mm-hmm. done. But at the same time, she's also really real about stuff. She's like, listen, like, I know you're trying to do this YouTube stuff. It's like early days. But at the same time, you have to think about your future. You know, mm-hmm. will this work out? Who knows? Mm-hmm. So just be smart about what you do. I think I forgot the question.
Yeah, because you're basically an artist, you know, like what you're doing. You like you're saying, you're more focused on the creative process of things and not necessarily tied to the business aspect. You're more driven by like creating things, which is something that I guess, it's something that always attracted me to kind of do stuff like this. Like we waited years literally to start creating something. Terrence and I. So it's kind of like, because you always worry about the starving artist kind of trope.
And you also worry about, oh, it's never good enough. I've really shed that feeling of, oh, it's not good enough.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like with that creative, like, you seem to always be sort of inclined to just kind of be like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to do it. I want to create something.
Or was it natural?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Was it natural to you? Like just kind of having that inclination?
I mean, I'd have to say yes. As long as I can remember, I've always mm-hmm. been like that. Like, I remember when we moved, my entire family, we moved from Virginia to California because mm-hmm. My father's in the military mm-hmm. and he was going out to sea. He was mm-hmm. stationed in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So my mom moved back with her mother. Anyhow, I remember when we made that move back to California. I had just played Smash Bros. Like a week before. It had just came out.
Yeah,
and I could not stop thinking about that game.
Yeah.
So during the whole trip, I'm just designing Smash Bros. Levels on like a composition notepad.
Nice.
That's like the earliest memory I have for game development.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So Jabril, do you have any siblings, man? Or is it just you're single child? Oh, you do?
I do. I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. So are they into like programming and gaming and whatnot too?
Yeah. Heavy, heavy game developing. My brother, he does program his own games as well. I keep trying to tell him he needs to upgrade to Unity because he's using Game Maker. he does his thing too.
That's cool.
Oh, nice. So are we going to see a Jabril family game in the future?
Maybe. I don't know how much they're actually into developing. I think they just like to use it as like a pastime, you know.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. They're into other stuff.
So then you would be the most serious one about gaming in the family, like creating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to like tell them all to stop watching like drama shows and let's get together and stuff like that.
Cool, man.
What's like I know to me it's kind of, I'm kind of intrigued by the sort of aspect of you also incorporating machine learning into some of your games and stuff. And like, I'm kind of curious, like how this plays into sort of a bigger scheme of, do you suspect where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this. So I'm actually glad you asked this question because, like my ultimate dream project is like a simulation of sorts in which like it's a system that always exists. This is going to be hard to explain. Bear with me.
Go for it.
It's like a system that always exists with or without you. And then you just play a part in it. And I think like the only real way to get there, or I guess the best way to get there is to involve machine learning because then you don't have to handhold all the different components of the system. They can kind of just like optimize, you know, the different components. But there are many limitations, one of which is like computing power. But that's kind of like my ultimate goal, why I'm so interested in learning like machine learning applied to video games and all the other stuff. Because I want to someday like try and make a prototype of something of a sort. I don't know.
Because that sounds like engine building. You're almost building an engine that like kind of makes, or like, because I've seen images or video of like say for instance, for most games nowadays they have this sort of thing where the game doesn't render the world around you until you see it, essentially. It's sort of like this what is that called, it's you know, a tree, what is it, do you hear a tree in
culling?
What's that?
Oh, like, well, it's technically called culling, but you're saying if a tree falls in the forest but no one's around to hear it,
something like that. Does it still make a sound?
There it is.
It still make a sound. And in video games, it doesn't. Okay, let me tell you right now. That's basically not the case.
That like, is correct.
Because like
too graphic power intensive.
Well, that, and it's just unnecessary resource use and poor management. But like what you're saying, basically making an emergent kind of like, is that kind of the idea? Like you just.
Well, it sounds like he's saying like it's like, imagine if you had a mini world and the world just keeps turning all the time.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. It's almost like you're being God in a sense. You're creating your own universe.
I think here's the pitch. I just realized this is the pitch, right?
Yeah.
So Dragon Ball Z is one of my favorite animes. Say what you want.
Yeah,
I don't care,
it is. Right? Hey, same here, man.
All right. Shouts, JJ. Yeah.
Bro anime.
Here's the pitch. What if you could create your own Dragon Ball Z world with software?
Okay.
Interesting.
That's the pitch. So it's a whole simulator. You just like set up a few rules, few parameters, superpowers are enabled, this and that, and the simulation goes. And then you can just have this world, make episodes out of it, do whatever you want, make a movie.
That's cool.
The pitch.
Wow.
That reminds me of those games that came out that kind of maybe, like, what is it called? I think there was a game called Black and White or something. There was a... No.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking
about. There were also games that... There was one game in particular that let you kind of it set a couple rules for life. I think it was a game about creating
Spore.
Like, Spore. Thank you. So games like this, are these sort of like prototypes?
Not very successful.
Is this something that these kind of games you look at and you're like, yeah, that's the seed. Like, but I want to take it to the next level kind of thing.
Yeah, I was very hyped for Spore.
Me too, man. Oh. Me too. Not going to lie. Same.
But then funding happened and they had to make all these cuts and changes. But I think it's in the same vision of like wanting to create a simulation that's, you know, interestingly enough, but also unique every time you run it.
So like one of these games that most recently came out actually that kind of flopped. You know what I'm, you know what I'm
he knows.
About?
I think he knows.
Fortnite?
You talking about that Fortnite?
No. The one like you're saying that it's a simulated kind of what is it?
It's No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. Yeah.
You're familiar, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah.
That was a big flopperoonie.
but here's the thing though. Mm-hmm. On paper, it's technically not. They made a lot of money up front, and they turned it around.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
but that's sort of similar kind of concept, though, right? It's a kind of – well, no, maybe not necessarily. But
it's different.
Yeah, it's definitely different. Yeah. But they nonetheless are trying to build a world where it's emergent in a way and apparently never-ending.
Right. A world that's been generated with certain parameters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's components definitely from No Man's Sky. Mm-hmm. You know, you take some of that, take some of like Spore, take some of a game called City Skylines. You know, it's just it's a very difficult challenge.
Oh, that sounds incredibly difficult, man.
Are these games just too ambitious right now? Do you think they're too ahead of their time? What do you think is the reason why these things just constantly fail? Spore, No Man's Sky, you know, these type of games.
Yeah, I think the more research required, the less likely it has to succeed. Reason being is because, like, when you're talking on that scale, you have to get investors involved. Investors don't understand research. They don't care about research. How much money are you bringing me? Why is this one feature taking 8 years? I don't care how cool it's going to be. I don't care how new and innovative. Just do what Mario does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of like to me, it sounds like, would you have to build a whole new game engine type of thing? Like, how does... Like
you definitely would want to, yeah.
Like functional.
I'm talking from scratch. Yeah. Dropping Unity, all that stuff, because you want to optimize the hell out of every little calculation.
Dang.
I see.
And with that, I imagine you know, say if you build a team, what would you say if you could build? Say if you build this engine. First of all, what would you name it?
Ooh, yikes.
I mean, you can't. I mean, it'd be easy to just say Jabril Engine, but the you know.
I'd call it bye bye free time.
But this is the dream engine in the sense where it's like, you know, you just make it all. Like,
I thought you were gonna ask him who would be on his dream programming team.
Oh, I mean,
do you have any people he's got on the roster?
He's like Tame Impala, dude. He does everything by himself.
Oh, do you have any big programming influences, Jabril?
I would definitely give. Will Wright, two W's is terrible. Will Wright, I'd give him a lot of love. He's from Maxis. He did the whole Sim series, did Spore, Sim City, all that stuff.
Nice.
Wow.
I take a lot of inspiration from his games.
That's really interesting. You're into the Sims. You don't meet too many people who put that on the top, but I really like that game. Especially
the
music.
Man, there's something about simulation that I love. There's something about it. It's like if I were to have the source code to The Sims and be able to add like a neural network on top of that. Dude.
Another project in the making.
You know what's funny? It kind of brings me to a bigger idea, I guess, because you said you were interested in kind of physics, and there's a lot of guys out there now sort of kind of coming to the idea that, you know, is our universe simulated? Because there's a lot of similar kind of embedded ideas, you know.
The answer is yes.
No time. He's
yeah,
on
he's
it.
Like, no. Well, yeah, because in physics, you know, we come to these ideas of, you know, it's a philosophical question about the tree falling in the forest. Do you hear it? Does it make a sound? Blah, blah, blah. Same thing for quantum mechanics, you know. We don't have to get into all that, but nonetheless, it's still you. So you agree.
Yes, I want to say something. I'm glad you brought this up as well, because I actually had this thought last night.
Okay.
When I was working on the stream game, the Planet Field game.
Yeah.
So video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every single component, every single feature, every single calculation mm-hmm. can be presented to the player as a graph.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking just a linear line and then two dots on the graph, mm-hmm. right? And so with that in mind, you can strip away every graphical components of a game and just give that to the player, right? And you can calculate every single thing of a game up until the end. I just thought about it. You need the player input. Never mind. I'm gonna work on this. I'll get back to you.
Yeah. He's had it. He's like, okay.
It's one of those thoughts where you're like, damn it. I thought I had something.
No, damn, but it's indeed. Yeah, but it's It kind of makes me think, because just imagining, I don't necessarily think the universe is simulated. In some sense, there is some sort of base code, you could say. You know what I'm saying? I think there is a base code. We don't even know, really. It's also, there's also properties that it's emergent, in the sense that, you know, things just kind of happen dynamically. Like, we don't really need to make complex rules on top of it. It's kind of a set.
I'm liking this drama. Keep it going.
But you get what I'm saying? It's you function off of basic principles, and then everything else happens from that. You know what I'm saying? Everything else is emergent.
But the question I'm saying is, what are those basic principles? We don't really know the lowest level yet.
We don't, but I mean,
if there is a lower
level, I mean, we can say the fundamental forces are at play.
And that, you know? Nope. And that is the problem, right? Because mm-hmm. like when you try and calculate things out in the distant future, it's mm-hmm. random noise that makes your calculation inaccurate.
Mm.
And until we get to that base level of understanding, we're not able to turn random noise into deterministic noise, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. the argument you're saying, basically.
In some sense, and the other thing is, though, that random noise, I don't know if we could ever get past that, because of Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. You know, there is some kind of weird strangeness to the small or the subatomic scale where, you know, if, I'm sure you've heard, you cannot measure position of a particle and the momentum at the same time. So right. because of that uncertainty, you're always going to have a little bit of grayness to your system. That's right. why people can actually make real random number generators from quantum systems. So the universe is not deterministic. This is where Einstein's famous phrase of, you know, God does not play dice is actually wrong. You know, he was convinced that everything should have a deterministic behavior at the end of the day. But with quantum mechanics, unfortunately, you know, there is a probability at dice rolling to the system.
Yeah. So, For now. The world was once flat. I'm just saying, the world was once flat.
I mean, Jabril, you might be right, man. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, but if
we're a long way away to know
that. Yeah, we really are. It's just, it's nonetheless a fascinating thing, I think, because a simulation...
Oh, almost in an hour, too.
Yeah, where a simulation is an intriguing concept. So, yeah, anyway, I wanted to see what your thoughts were on that. So
yeah. I guess...
Again, I don't know as much physics as you guys, but as far as, like, programming, I lean that it's more of a simulation, but
yeah, I'm sure your perspective on like machine learning as well is kind of and like creating neural networks and stuff also kind of makes you think, yeah, there's something fundamentally, there's a lot of analogs between these two things. Now, analogs that are not seen on me, because I don't know any programming, so I don't know the sort of source code in a sense. But yeah.
Cool. Well, Jabril, we're almost sitting an hour here, man, so I don't want to go too much longer because our camera also is limited. But I guess we can kind of wrap it up here, man. I guess to end it off on a fun question, mm-hmm. What do you think about UFOs?
I think that they are unidentified. That's one.
Anomalous.
I think they also fly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think there's some kind of object.
That's the most non-answer ever.
That's a good answer. I would have said the same. So,
but any thoughts about extraterrestrials, aliens?
Yeah. They better be out there.
Oh, they better be. Aliens, you heard it first. Jabril's coming for you.
Any aliens out there? Better, you know, you better pull up.
I would love to see an alien computer program. Yeah. That would be really sweet, I feel like.
So, the company?
No.
The company.
So, actually, you know, we talked about the Matrix. I know we're going to – this is a little tangent. That's a small tangent. I promise.
Yeah, we don't want to lose the video.
I promise it's a small tangent, but this is an interesting question that I've thought about too.
Okay.
It's about – there's some people that brought up the fact that, you know, simulations will get so complicated that people will invariably – we'll get to a point where our graphing capacity and everything and simulation capacities will almost be one-to-one with reality, in a sense.
Mm.
And with that, would you actually enter a simulation? Would you do that?
Ooh, that's a good
question.
Would
you live in a simulation if you versus reality?
Listen, if you could choose? I've been stuck in this house quarantined for 2 weeks. I've been begging someone to create that simulation already.
Because AR is almost there, but AR is just kind of like, oh, you know, it still doesn't have all the senses incorporated, you know.
You mean VR, right?
I mean VR, sorry. Yeah, augmented reality is totally different. VR, yeah. VR is only a couple senses, you know, it's two of our senses, essentially. It's eyes or vision and sound, as opposed to, like, you know, well, we sense temperature, we sense... you know, touch or pressure or whatever, you know, there's still those aspects of sensing that need to be incorporated. Yeah. But would you take it?
Yeah, like I Matrix think so. Style. I mean, especially if like I'm done here on Earth, like, hey, plug me in, baby. Yeah. Let's do this.
Matrix style, just like do it. Yeah. Yeah. No,
I want to be someone important, like an actor.
Well, in the VR, everybody could be important.
Yeah.
That's a basic reference. You guys both failed.
Oh. What was it from?
The Matrix.
Yeah, he just said The Matrix.
Oh.
I didn't catch it, though. What was the quote?
It was a Cypher quote.
Oh,
there it is. Yeah. Terrence with the save.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrence with the save, my boy.
Nice.
He didn't care if the steak was fake.
Yeah, nice, man.
Very cool. Well, Jabril, we're going to wrap it up here, man. We want to make sure we can continue this. Keep this video feed. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
It was great having you, man. Any final thoughts or comments for the audience?
Yeah, I want to say you actually thought that this is crooked, but it's actually my camera, and I've been
That's funny.
You've seen it. It's video magic again. Folks.
So if y'all want to check out Jabril, he's got a channel on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can check him out on Twitter.
Yes,
actually,
indeed.
So plug your Twitter in real quick, man.
@Jabrils_ Whoever owns the Jabril's actual handle, please give it up.
Yeah.
Jabril Scott.
Yeah, give it up.
Coming for you.
Or else the nation's going to come after you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, look out for Jabril's. What was it? Jabril AI Brain?
Yes, Project AI Brain.
Yes. Look out for it. Yes. What, you got any other projects you want to plug, man?
Yes, I want to plug the new video coming out soon. What is it called? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called? Strategy. AI Learn Strategy. It's coming out next week or this week.
Next week. Okay, well, this podcast is going to come out next Friday.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is it going to be out by then?
Hopefully.
We'll see. But if you still check out his channel, you'll see a lot of stuff on... basically like learning how to basically do a bunch of AI stuff
and
machine learning kind of stuff. So if you want to learn some of that, go ahead and check his channel out. Some fun stuff like making video games and stuff, check that out too.
Make sure you subscribe. And of course, guys, subscribe to Eigen Bros, and then also check us out on Twitter and Instagram and all those good channels. And guys, we will see you later. Jabril, thanks again, man.
Thanks again.
Anytime.
All right,
peace.